Amen, amen.
Amen.
Song says, I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. We greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, the Christ. It is again that God has blessed us. And my mind goes to a friend that lost his life right down here at the end of the road. I don't know if you're aware of it, but I was told that he was hit by a drunk driver. Amen. That could have been any one of us. Amen. Right down here at the E.F. Carter, at the intersection of E.F. Carter, hit by a drunk driver. And though he is gone, life is precious, y'all. We're still here. And we're here for a reason. I believe we're here to celebrate Christ. Come on, somebody. We're here to celebrate for some of y'all another year of life. For all the birthdays, God bless you. Being here another year is certainly something to celebrate.
Amen.
I'm a witness to that.
Amen.
I won't trouble your hearts or your minds really long. We're going to ask that you stand to your feet. We're going to get right into it. My assignment is one of simplicity. For he has given me a message to take to his church, found in the book of Jeremiah, 18th verse. Our verse of focus is verse number 4. If you have the King James written, in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 18, verse number 4, 1, 2, 3, read.
And the vessel that he made clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel that seemed good to the potter to make it.
Our word for today, what we want to just focus on is transformation. Somebody say transformation.
Transformation.
Transformation is when you start out one way, but you end up another way. You start out one thing, but along the way you go through a metamorphosis of sorts, and you were changed into something else. Somebody say something else. I want you to pray with me on a topic, another vessel.
Amen.
Someone say another vessel.
Another vessel.
Subtopic is before and after.
Before and after.
Somebody say before.
Yes. Before
and after.
And after.
Eternal God, it's preaching time. We now ask that you would give preaching. Nothing occurs unless you speak. Now God, use these lips to pray to say what you would have them to say. Father, I'm a willing vessel. Father, I have what you have given to me. Now help me give it to them. Even a word from on high. Make their hearts and their minds receptive for your word, that they might be refreshed. Father, let your will be done. Let your word go forth. Make us to live differently than when we came. For in the name of Jesus we pray, say with me, amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may take your seats. Greater love hath no man than this. A man will lay down his life for his friend. A very familiar passage of scripture of which I thought I was finished, but like a old dog, they have a bone. And discarded it, but realized there was some more meat on that bone. Somebody said some more meat on that bone. God's going to be right back to this text. Either someone didn't get it or something else to get it. Amen?
Amen.
This is a picture of the prophet Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. And he was given a message. God was to give him a message to take to the southern kingdom, Judah.
His people now are split. There's a northern kingdom called Israel and a southern kingdom called Judah. And he, as their preacher, was given a message, but in order for him to get the message, he had to go to the Father's house. See, y'all don't understand, being a preacher, one of the most difficult things is knowing what to say. I struggle on what to preach. I pray and I sometimes fast because I want to bring the right message. I don't want to bring what Greg said. But I want to bring what God said. And Jeremiah is given a message, but God tells him, get up and go to the Potter's house. And I'm going to show you what I want you to say. So the Bible says he gets up and he goes to the Potter's house. And from the scripture, notice that there's no words transpired. All he does is peek in to the potter's shop. And he sees the potter working a work on a wheel. Now, I got a church today. I know it's cold and wet outside. Y'all have been with me a little while, we'll be ready to go home. The word for today is transformation. For I want you to know the first thing is the potter's desire. The potter's desire is onefold. He wants to do one thing. He wants to take something that is nothing. And he wants to make something. Y'all come on with me. God wants to take nothing and make something. When you became Christian, whether you realize it or not, you got up on the potter's feet. And if we don't begin to turn, we understand that the potter is God.
Yeah.
We understand that we are the clay. We get that.
Amen.
We understand that the wheel is the circumstances of life. We get that.
Right.
But what we don't get is that God wants to make something.
Yes.
Out of our life.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
A lot of times, I don't know if you look at these shows, Rick. These people come and they go into the market and they go out and look at any kind of hey, they have phones. Wearing some
pajamas.
Y'all see those shows. We don't know where we're going with this. And their friends see them looking tore up from the throat. They bring them on this show.
Yeah.
To give them a makeover. Come on, somebody. y'all got to go with me.
Yeah.
So they bring them to these people, and these people are to make them over again.
That's right.
Somebody say transformation.
Transformation.
So what I'd like to see is the before kitchen.
Yeah.
And you got to go to the whole show because they got to get new tag. They got to get makeup and they got to get a brand new wardrobe. Y'all seen that show?
Yes.
But you know, I don't want to see all that stuff in between. I just like seeing the before picture and the after picture. Look, somebody say, this is what I look like before. I'm going somewhere with this. God desires to make us over, church. He desires to take, see, what you need to know is that this clay has no form. And the potter will take it to market and set a boneless form piece of clay, he will get nothing for it. The potter knows this, so his time directed and his desire is to bring usefulness. It's to bring worthiness to this worthless, no good piece of clay. Look, somebody say, you just play. It's going to be hard for some people to understand. But Psalm 51:4 says, behold, I was shaped in iniquity. And in sin did my mother conceive me. We were formed in iniquity.
sick in the body of sin. God saw us and rescued us. We understand again that we are the clay that the Bible talks about. We understand it. But what I want you to understand is that God desires to make us over again. Matthew chapter 4, verse 19 is a picture of where Christ is choosing his disciples. Peter and James are fishers. Fishermen. That's their livelihood. But Christ says, drop your nets, follow me.
That's right.
And notice what the Bible says. The Bible says, I will make you. Somebody say, I will make you.
I will make you.
He wants to make us over again.
That's right.
He says, in other words, I will make you fishers of men.
Right.
In other words, I'm going to change you from what you used to be to what you ought to be. I'll talk to somebody today. You're looking for your purpose in life. God wants to give your purpose, but he can't give your life purpose until he makes you over. Somebody said, make me over again. In other words, you used to catch fish, but now you're going to catch me, and I wish I had a church. God desires to make us into something that we had never been before. He told Abram in Genesis chapter 12, verse 2, he said, and I will make thee a great nation. Greatness is not born. Greatness is made. Look at somebody say, greatness is made.
Greatness is made.
And the reason some of us will never become what God wants us to be, which is great, is because we're not willing to be made over. As I hear it to my point, he works with this clay that has no value. Why is it that, I don't know about you, but when I was growing up and I became Christian, it was almost like it was an unfair exchange. Go back a little while. When I became Christian, it was like I couldn't have the fun like I used to have. Y'all understand? It was as if I was losing something, but right here in the text we see that we are made better. The clay is no good. The clay is worthless. The clay has no use until it gets to the potter's hands. Second thing I want you to know is that the Bible says that he began to work on that clay. Unlike the clay, when the potter presses the clay don't hurt. But when God presses us, how many know it hurts?
Amen.
I wish I had a church.
Amen, Pastor.
But what you don't understand is that even before the clay gets on the wheel, there's a process that it has to go through.
Amen.
Somebody say process.
Before
the clay can even get on the wheel, the potter first must go search for it. And today I just want to take a little time to look at the potter's tools. He has to have some tools to get that clay. Now, it's inferred that the clay has already been gotten, but what is not said is that he had to first go and find the clay. We don't know where the clay was. It might have been around the old nasty riverbed. Somebody say, where did he find you at? I don't know, but the clay probably was just laying there on the ground. I ain't even talking about clay, but we'll call somebody. It was laying on the ground, and the first tool that he used was something like a shovel. He had to dig down in some dirt. Come on, somebody. He had to dig down in the dirt, and then he had to scoop me had to take me to the potter's house. Amen. Somebody said, why did you come to church?
Then
we got to the potter's house. I'm told that they had to put him in a wooden vessel or a cement vessel. And then he had to cover it with water. Take out the water. The Bible says that we are washed by the water of the Word.
Yeah.
Somebody say the Word, the Word, the Word, the Word, the Word. When you came to church, if you hear the Word enough, it will make some things happen in your life. I will talk back to you this week. When you hear the Word of God going forth, all of a sudden some things begin to separate.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm talking about the water now. Water separated the dirt from the clay. Water separated some sticks and some stones and rocks in the clay. I wish I had a church. The water of the Word began to make some things settle down to the bottom while other things rose to the top. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Why did they have to go to the same church, hear the same preacher? Some folk will rise to the top. Notice that I ain't even got to the wheel yet. Somebody say process. You got to go through the separation process. And notice that the end result is that you want to become a vessel. You can't become a vessel until you hollow out on the inside. I'm told that the potter will first put his hand on the clay. And as the wheel turns, Lord have mercy, he will squeeze it. Let me tell you about, see, when you squeeze a rock, nothing happens. But when you squeeze the clay,
All right, now.
I don't want somebody. I said when you squeeze clay, it begins to rise. And as it rises, I'm told that you're going to put his fingers right there at the top and begin to press down. You can't carry nothing until he houses you out. I don't know somebody. Hollows it out. And see, the third thing you need to know is that the clay don't want to be shaped. He'll press it and it won't move. But right there, he's got some water. He'll reach his hand over in the water and slap some water on it. Water, somebody say the Word of God.
The Word of God. I'm
talking to someone now. You will not ever become what God wants you to be until you yield to the potter's touch. How can you yield to the potter's touch? I'm so glad you asked. You got to read the Word of God. Somebody say, read the Word of God.
Read the Word of God.
The more Word you get, the more powerful that you are. Power means that you're able to be shaped. The Word softens up your heart. The Word softens up your mind. Second, when he presses down, you won't push back. You can push back. Lord have mercy. The clay is still, but the water of the Word will loosen it up. Somebody say, loosen me, Lord. Ephesians 2:9 says it like this, not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. God has created us for good works. Somebody say good works. The good works aren't the way to get to heaven. The good works are when we already are in heaven. Don't let me lose you. We don't do good works to get saved. We do good works because we are saved.
That's right.
God expects good works. Somebody say good works.
Good works.
Good works is going out like this afternoon. Some of y'all can go back home. And what are you going to do? All you're going to do is look at TV, slit around, sleep, and do nothing. Somebody say good works.
Good works.
God expects good works from his church. Good works is like pouring out to somebody who's less fortunate than we are.
Amen.
my grandma used to say, you need to take you a piece of money.
That's right, Pastor.
We're going to the orphanage, but we're not going empty-handed. We're going to leave some money there. Y'all ain't going to say that. We're going to leave some shoes there. Somebody say good works.
Good works.
Good works is going out to the rest home when you ain't got nobody that you know in there. Somebody say good works.
Good works.
Good works is going out to the hospital when ain't nobody in your family sick. Somebody say good works.
Good works.
Good works are the things that we do because we are who we are. The Bible says we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And that word workmanship is a very strange word. It's from the Greek word proema, for your note text, P-O-I-E-M-A. In other words, we are the product of God. We are what God has made. But somebody say, he's still working on me. Notice that you can't get good use out of it until you become a finished work. Some of us ain't even got on the field yet. Y'all ain't gonna say it. Some of us ain't even got up on the wheel. All we've been done is scooped out and separated. Glory to the cement. Water flowed on us. For some of us, we began to rise to the top. Others are stubborn and like a rock. We sit right there. Won't say amen. Won't clap a smile. Won't praise God.
Well,
yeah. I might be still before. I might not be after, but I'm somewhere in between. Somebody said somewhere in between. I might not be what I want to be, but I thank God that I'm not where I used to be. I will see some times in my life that folks will say some stuff, and I will come back with some stuff. Some choice words. Look, somebody say, he's working on me. He's working on me. But you cannot fulfill the assignment until you become a finished work. The last thing I want to point out is a whole lot more meat on this bone. The last thing I want to point out is that you will never become that finished work until you yield. I said it before, but I'm just keeping on saying. You got to yield to his touch. Let's not say yield to his touch.
Yield to his touch.
Yield to his touch. Okay, I know you want to know what his touch is. His touch, some of you, he touches you. The Holy Spirit urges you to read your Bible. But you can't read your Bible because you look at too much TV. Your favorite show ain't doing you no good. I'll just take one. Take one. This is one of the most terrible times in TV history. Now, because you can watch episode after episode after episode. Who am I preaching to? You can get it on Facebook and you can get lost in those videos.
Yes.
Look at my face. Is he talking to you?
Yes.
You think you're not hurting anyone, but what I'm telling you, you are heeding and hindering the progress of the potter. You know you ought to be reading the Master's Word. Why? Because you need to be soft, you need to be more comfortable. The Word softens us. While we're sitting there looking at our favorite TV show, we ought to be reading our Sunday school lesson. Whenever I heard that, why don't I read my Sunday school lesson? I don't even come to Sunday school. I heard that in my spirit. Well, the pastor, you know, he don't come to Sunday school. The pastor ain't got heaven or hell to put you in.
That's what it is.
The pastor is not the father. God is. I said, the pastor ain't the father. No. The pastor is not the father. You have to remember that I'm still a work in progress too. Instead of talking about it, play for me. Instead of talking about me, pray for me.
Amen.
If I ain't there, the reason I ain't there.
Amen.
Why? Because I'm on the wheel too. Stay on the wheel. Don't get off the wheel. I just want to go to the last thing now. When it is ready, after it's sitting there for 6 months, then he takes it. It's still no good. And he throws it on the wheel. And it's not centered because it's wobbling. I told you about that last week. It wobbles. So he puts his hands on it and he squeezes it. Rocks will not move to the master's touch. But clay will begin to rise. Somebody say, are you rising up? If you feel the pressures of life is nothing but the potter squeezing you. Stop blaming every bad thing on God. God allows it for your good.
Amen.
I'm going to say it again. He allowed the divorce for your good.
Amen.
He allowed that the loved one being taken from you for your good. Stop trying to understand it. I want to leave you with this. One thing that we are is very sure about the potter is that there's no blueprint. Y'all, let me listen. There's no blueprint, there's no picture that goes by. What is that saying? You are individually made. There's nobody like you. Nobody can do what you can do. Like you can do it. I can just pray God like that. There's no blueprint because what he's making is original. Where is the blueprint? It's in his mind. Stop trying to figure God out because nobody knows the mind of God but God himself.
Amen.
When he sits down, the potter knows what he wants to make. You know, all we're supposed to do is hang on by the wheel turn. I say, hang on in there. Hang on in there. And the Bible says that it was marred, or where I want to really hang my hat is, that he made it over again. What you must understand is, in order for him to make it over again, he had to crush it down to a ball of clay and start all over. Somebody say, start it all over. I don't know where you are in that progression of life. Whether you have just been scooped out from the earth, whether or not you have been thrown in that cement container and water thrown on you, and you're letting the best of you rise to the top while the bad of you goes to the bottom of you, there has to be a separating. Somebody say sanctification. We are chosen. We are chosen people. We're picked out to be picked on. We ain't better than anybody. We are different. Why are we different? We're different because God chose us. He scooped us out of the earth, unearthed us. And now he's working on us, making us into what he wants us to be. To do a work predestined, man ordained for our lives. We can't even begin to accomplish until we become a willing vessel and a vessel of you. Give God a hand, have a prayer. What I say before and after. Before, we are just formless, useless pieces of clay. But after, we are made vessels of value. Vessels of good use. Profitable for the kingdom. Now we carry something of value. Preachers carry the word, the message. We are all preachers. We all have a story. Are you carrying what God has done for you to somebody else and sharing it? Dee said something very important. There was a second phase to this. And I began to wonder, will I ever see that second phase? But one thing is for sure, I saw the first phase.
Amen.
Oh, y'all ought to praise God.
Amen, Pastor.
But if you did that, how many know you do this?